You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. Taking a little step away from the theme of the week, obviously I've been going over some of the key games, key moments of the past season, and this week I'm supposed to be looking at some of the best moments in franchise history. I'll be doing that in a two-part episode that'll be airing on Thursday and Friday. However, I did want to just kind of touch base a little bit with some of the latest news regarding the Miami Heat. There hasn't been much going on, obviously. There has been some policy discussion from the NBA about opening up facilities for teams that seems like it's likely to get shut down. So I don't anticipate that facilities will be open for Miami, although it seems like Miami, similarly to other states around the country, are probably going to be on the side more willing to open up certain aspects of life again. Miami-Dade County already opening up parks and other recreational areas, so it just seems like it's a matter of time before other things start to open up. Probably not a good idea. That's neither here nor there. I'm not the one making those decisions. As much as I'd like to go out and watch basketball, play basketball, and resume my life back to normal, I'm also not willing to jeopardize my life or the life of those around me. But it looks like the league has changed course, and although the original plan was to open up facilities as soon as the end of the week or sometime in the month of April, it now looks like the May 8th date is what they're targeting as far as a potential opening up of facilities. Again, this isn't necessarily concrete. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know that anybody does, including the league themselves. They're just looking at the possibility that maybe they can open up facilities, give players that don't have any connection to any training facilities or anything like that, just give them a chance to continue to work out and stay in shape and just touch base. If they're already doing some kind of online training or things of that sort, at least they can open up these facilities, kind of get back into playing basketball. Because if we continue as a league to just be shut down to this point, who knows what's going to happen? Like, I mean, the quality of play is going to degrade no matter what. At this point, it's already been a month and a half since active basketball has been played. Maybe some people, Mike Conley in particular, who has a whole home court gym available to himself, maybe he can stay in shape, but everybody else probably is going to be a step slower. And, you know, we've talked to a number of players. We've heard from a number of players. They're all limited as far as their ability to shoot a basketball or do anything related to actual basketball type play. So for the Heat to open up facilities again, it seems like it's going to take some time, but we'll see what happens. We'll see how it all plays out. At least that's one of the little news items that's taking place there. Another news item is that Dwayne Wade is looking to record a documentary, or he's producing a documentary on the 2008 USA Redeem Team. It's a good bit of good news. We've seen with the success of The Last Dance, the 10-part documentary series being aired on ESPN and Netflix, focusing on Michael Jordan and the last season of his stint with the Chicago Bulls. There is a receptive audience here. With no active sports being played, I think everything from the WNBA draft to the NFL draft to the documentary, all these different sports peripheral related items or things of that sort or events are garnering much more interest than they might normally would. If D-Wade had produced this and released it at any other point in time, there might not be as much fanfare surrounding it, or it might not have garnered as much attention. But now there is certainly a much more captive audience. You know, people still want to remain connected in some way to sports by and large. And so this is a good opportunity. And this is also a positive one because the Redeem Team, if you recall correctly, was a very, very talented squad. It featured LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and D. Wade, along with Kobe Bryant, Carmelo Anthony, and a bunch of other players. I believe Carlos Boozer was on that squad as well. Either way, it was a lot of different talented players in 2008. It was following the 2004 loss in the medal round to Argentina, I don't know why I pronounce it that way, where the USA team came away with bronze after years and years of thinking that they could just skate by and collect a gold medal. Clearly, that was not the case in 2004. D-Wade and LeBron were part of that roster, and they felt the sting of having to lost an international play, and so they came back in 2008 to reform and add new talent there, and it was a great squad that wound up performing just as they should. And of course, the USA has won gold and two subsequent Olympics, so in 2012 and 2016. And so the 2008 redeem team, I think, was a lot of people looked at that as on a par with the 1992 original dream team that featured Jordan, Patrick Ewing, Scottie Pippen, Larry Bird, Chris Mullin, and others. It was a very talented group. The first time that professionals had been allowed to play basketball at the Olympic level. And that was actually responsible for my fandom in many, many ways, seeing that collection of talent. And so, I don't know that the comparison is equal. It's different, different eras, different types of play. But either way, the 2008 Redeem team, a very fun group to watch. And I'd be just as interested as most of you probably watching that documentary and how Dwayne played his role in it. Of course, famously having shaved his head for that and playing at a really high level. He was a different kind of player in 2008 than the one that we saw over the last few years of his career. But he also laid the groundwork down for what would wind up becoming one of the seminal moments in Heat history, which is, of course, the addition of LeBron James and Chris Bosh in 2010. A lot of people looked at the 2008 connection there and saw some potential seeds of tampering taking place. Not sure how likely or unlikely that is. Either way, players talk and they should be allowed to talk. It's a job and they're looking at different working environments and potential options. If you want to play with a friend or an acquaintance or somebody like that, why not do so? They should have the freedom to explore all those options. So I'm totally above it. And I'm not just saying that because as a Heat fan in 2010, I was a beneficiary of that. I still think that's a good cause, a good reason for anybody to explore other options when it comes to looking at other teams to play. So either way, documentary, I'm not sure what the release date on that is. I know it's coming up soon. But we'll be on the lookout for that, and I'll definitely talk about it in an upcoming episode. Probably sitting around wondering what to eat for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. If you're looking for a breakfast burrito or a 12-pack of beers to enjoy the Last Dance documentary on ESPN, you just need something. You want it delivered fast, and that's where Postmates come in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're still eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant that I can think of right to my door. The other day I wanted sushi, I used Postmates, had it within 25 minutes, it was the best. Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers or sushi or pizza, they actually make your life easier with grocery delivery and whatever you can think of delivery too. Convenience stores, clothing stores, whatever's closed down right now, you name it, Postmates will go and pick it up and deliver it to you. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs. You don't have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free delivery, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Also want to get into perhaps the most ridiculous item out there, which is the Aaron Gordon diss track. Man, I personally got to be honest with you, I am so sick of Aaron Gordon's attitude about this. And I know it's somewhat of a joke, kind of, I think, the result of a player being very, very bored during the hiatus of the NBA. And maybe the diss track seems like the modern young man's opportunity to get back at somebody. I don't know. It seems kind of ridiculous. If you've seen the video, I feel sorry for you because there's not enough bleach to cleanse my eyes after watching just a few seconds of it. It's Gordon sitting there melancholy by a huge mansion pool, sipping on what is the Way of Wade wines. And rapping or talking over these images of him kind of sitting there upset and just blasting Dwayne Wade. I gotta be honest with you, I cannot keep a straight face talking about this, because one, this is the news of the day, during the hiatus of basketball. So I have to talk about it. There's nothing else really to get into as far as basketball and basketball peripherally related items. But man, Gordon is such a fucking clown for all this. And I'm sorry to curse. I apologize for that. I know I do it infrequently on the show, but sometimes I just cannot help it. For Gordon to take the time, what is it, 2 months later? And after everything that's happened since then, I mean, his team is in the midst of a playoff race. Miami's in the midst of a playoff race. Dwayne Wade is retired. Like, you really took that time, Aaron, to write lyrics about why you feel slighted? Like, the song is called 9 out of 10. He blames Dwayne for everything. And then, you know, Dwayne kind of tweeted at it and said, you know, you should trademark that. Free advice for you. Enjoy the Wade wines. Apparently, Gordon and Wade talked after the quote-unquote diss track came out, and everything's fine. Damn, that is some clownish behavior from Aaron Gordon. Like, I've got to be honest with you. I like Aaron. I really do. For those of you who don't remember, don't recall, I lived in Gainesville when I first started getting credentials to games, and I would travel from Gainesville to Orlando. That was the nearest facility, and so that was the one that I had to the ability to go see on a regular basis. And so I would go cover Magic games. I would talk to Magic players. I would also talk to players that were traveling through there, like Heat players and others. But, you know, you go to enough practices, you see what these players are like. I've talked to Aaron a number of times. He's intelligent. He's thoughtful. He's also really sensitive in a way that probably doesn't come through unless you've talked to him or see him up close for a prolonged period of time. He takes a lot of pride in his play and everything else, but he is also a little sensitive. That's my opinion. He cares about these things a lot more than he should. And I have to be honest with you, it's probably part of the reason why the Magic have not won as much as they probably should. Like, Aaron is a fine player. He has potential. He's still young, and he can still reach another level. But there is just something about a franchise that doesn't know how to tell players to shut the hell up or to focus on what's really important. Like, it's okay for you to dabble in these outside interests if, you know, one, obviously, if basketball isn't being played, you can dabble as much as you want to. That's not the criticism here, but just drop the focus. Like, why are you taking the time to write something like this when it doesn't even matter? First of all, to go back to the dunk contest itself, which is what he's complaining about, the dunk was horrible. You cleared Taco Fall barely. Like, I mean, you dragged your crotch all over the back of Fall's head. I think everybody realized that in slow motion. And when it was actually happening, maybe it looked much more impressive. Either way, it wasn't that great a performance. Look, certainly outperforms what a lot of other dunkers could do. But as far as that dunk is concerned, I don't think it was all that great. It's not like you performed the kind of dunks that we saw Michael Jordan or Vince Carter do earlier in their careers. I just don't understand it. And then the alleged controversy, whether there was one or not, why Dwayne awarded him a 9 out of 10. Of course Dwayne wants Derrick Jones Jr., the guy who represents the franchise that Dwayne has been a part of for almost 20 years. Of course he wants Derrick to win the trophy. Why wouldn't he? Like, it's ridiculous. And so you know that, and you take that into consideration, and you just move on. And this is what I'm talking about when I have issues with the Magic and the loser mentality that franchise has. I know my counterpart with Locked On Magic would probably disagree with this, but I think you just got to stop. Like this is the issue here, is that you have players caring about these kinds of things when in reality they should be focused on other things. Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic here, one. Two, if you're safe and sound and that's fine, think of other more constructive things to do. You have a pool. You have a goddamn mansion at your availability there. You're as a wealthy player in Southern California. There's a good chance that you can go find a facility or have access to a facility. Go work out. Do something else. Don't write a damn diss track. It's just ridiculous. And I just can't understand it. Again, as much as I like Aaron, you can tell that he's sensitive about these things, that he's still upset and that it's bothersome to him. And I just, aren't there other things that you could focus on, even out, not just outside of basketball, but within basketball, that should take your time, that should be preoccupying you? I mean, this is where there is a clear lack of established vocal leadership there on that Magic roster. And I don't want to turn this into an episode of Locked On Magic, but at the same time, Nikola Vucevic or DJ Augustine or Evan Fournier or one of the guys that's been playing for a little bit longer has to slap Gordon upside the head and say, knock it off, who cares? They might be pissed off about the Dwayne Wade thing. Nick Vucevic should go and say something if he wants to. He was an all-star a couple of years ago, and deservedly so. He was in that same locker room with Dwayne Wade when they were both all-stars in 2019. And so if you want to make a comment, go. Defend your teammate. And then move on. It's a freaking slam dunk contest. You know? He says he's been robbed three times. You've done this three times already. You couldn't come up with a trophy. Maybe that's a clear indication that your dunks aren't all that good. Either way, I had to get into it. I apologize for the little bit of a rant there. It's just, to me, I don't understand what he's doing, why he takes the time to retaliate or respond to Dwayne Wade. Again, 2 months. Maybe this is just a byproduct of having too much time on your hands, but either way, I'll answer some listener questions coming up on the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. So as I said before, just wanted to get into a few listener questions here. Haven't done this in a while because, well, I don't want to keep pressing you all for questions, although you are always welcome to send those in. I love getting your questions. I love hearing from you, making sure that all of you are safe and that you're still invested in Heat basketball, because I think it's always exciting to talk about basketball on any kind of level, and for all of you to want some opportunity to connect, you can always reach out to me by phone, by email, by DM. Either way, I'm open and available to you, and I appreciate all of you who have stayed in contact. A few of you have reached out to me, and it's always great hearing from you. So anyway, this one comes in from Giorgio Tsoukalos. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He writes, "Hello, David. I've been listening to your podcast for a while. I thought I'd reach out after your last podcast." Now, full disclosure, Giorgio is sending me this in late March, so it's been a while. I haven't really addressed this, but either way, obviously, we didn't know what was taking place. I specifically didn't know what was taking place in last March, so I wanted to kind of put a pause in answering any questions at that point in time because, well, things could have changed very quickly regarding the pandemic, whether or not basketball would be open again and things of that sort. Unfortunately, here we are over a month later and nothing really has changed since then. Either way, Giorgio writes that he lives in Australia, has been a diehard fan of the Heat since he was 12, and he's now 23, and he's been lucky enough to see the most recent championships and the loss of the three greatest players to ever put on a Heat jersey. That's a reference, of course, to LeBron, Chris, and Dwayne Wade. He's never stopped loving the Heat, and in these horrible times, he writes, it's extremely difficult to bear the absence of Heat basketball. I feel you, Giorgio. I think a lot of us are right there with you. Giorgio also has aspirations of one day working in the Miami Heat front office. That would be fantastic. And he wanted to ask a few questions and hear my perspective on them. So here's the first question from Giorgio. He writes, was our lack of interest during the trade period for more of an interior presence a sign of trust in the roster they put together, or was it an overlooked aspect in the overall finished product? Well, that's a good point. As far as the lack of interest there, I don't know that there was one. I think the exploration of acquiring Danilo Gallinari from the Oklahoma City Thunder was signs that they wanted to potentially upgrade the overall roster. Now, Gallinari plays the three or four, depending on what lineups you want to use him in, primarily the four because of his size and the fact that he has gone through some injuries and he's a little slower than the player who came in from Italy just a few years ago. Either way, Gallinari is a good shooter. He spaces the floor considerably. And I think that's why you add a guy like Gallinari to the current Heat roster, because he is somewhat complementary of Bam Adebayo, who you could have as a 4-5, depending on what lineups you want to use. And I think that's the issue here, is that you need somebody to complement Bam Adebayo. And so there aren't a lot of those players available that can provide the same things that Myers Leonard can provide. And so if you want Bam to be more of a roving defender, a kind of guy who is an all-around, versatile, switchable defender who can pick up other guys in pick-and-roll situations, who can help out in defense if the initial perimeter defender gets blown past or things of that sort, you need somebody like Bam out there, and you want him to have that kind of freedom, but you need somebody else, a bigger body, who can kind of contend and do things along those same lines. As far as being a first level defense, you know, that allows Bam the time he needs to recover and provide help. Gallinari does that at the four. So does Myers Leonard, albeit at the five. We saw Myers guarding guys on the perimeter and, you know, getting somewhat victimized there. He's not as fleet-footed as Bam is. And so if he's out there guarding a quicker five, there's a good chance that those opponents will get past Myers initially from the wing or perimeter and then be able to get to the hoop. And that's where Bam comes in and is able to provide help. We'd probably see a lot of that with Gallinari as well. So that's, I think there was interest in upgrading an interior presence. I just don't think it has, you can't just get another bigger center. I mean, there aren't a lot of floor spacing fives that you could add to this roster that are going to provide rim protection and things like that. You're not going to get a Nikola Jokic. You're not going to get a Karl Anthony Towns. Those guys aren't available for draft. I mean, for trade. So, you know, you can't, it's not like they had a lot of options available to them. I think the Gallinari move would have made a lot of sense because you would have blown up this offense a little bit more. You would have spaced it out considerably. I think it would have been a great opportunity for Miami to get a more scoring punch out of the front court. But I don't think it was an overlooked aspect. Now, having said that, I think they also wouldn't push for it. They had their terms set clearly. They wanted to sign him to a long-term extension, he wanted a long-term extension. The Heat did not. And I think that's a good sign that, you know, they weren't willing to sacrifice their future for Gallinari or any player, and they were content with the roster that they currently have. So I don't think it was necessarily overlooked. I just think they were looking for a particular player with a particular set of skills. They found one in Gallinari, and he wasn't willing to come to Miami on the team's terms. And as a result, they just moved on, and they were content with the roster as currently comprised. I think you have enough talent there. Between Kelly Olynyk and Myers Leonard, you have enough of a quote-unquote interior presence there. It's just different, you know. This team is not the same team it was a few years ago with Hassan Whiteside in the middle. It's more like the big three era teams with Chris Bosh as your center, where you're kind of spacing the floor, you're hedging more on defense, you're icing opponents out in the perimeter, and that you're forcing turnovers in that sense. And I think that's just what fits this, you know, this roster and this level of talent a little bit more. So you're not going out and getting your traditional center, a guy who blocks shots. We had that for a couple seasons with Hassan, and it's good. And it's bad in its own ways. Now that you see Miami using the zone defense a lot more. You see them using again more perimeter based defense and attacking opponents out there. I think that's just what suits this roster a little bit more. Giorgio also has another question, and he writes in, "I know we're probably sick to death of answering this question. Never, I'm never sick to death of answering any of the questions. Does the prospect of signing Giannis seem realistic? In my opinion, being Greek myself, I could picture nothing better than leaving the cold climate of Milwaukee to come to sunny South Beach. Also, does the fact that he chose Jimmy and Bam as part of his all-star roster play into the rumors, or was it merely that he wanted what they brought to the table?" I'll answer that second part there. I don't know that there's anything to that. Like, I think in looking at the roster selection, you could tell that as it was being televised, Antetokounmpo seemed like he was taking a little bit more time, a little bit more thoughtfulness as far as getting his picks. He wasn't just getting the more talented player or ones that necessarily weren't fit. It is a little bit more relaxed of a format. And so, LeBron had his style of just choosing the guys that he knows or guys that are more talented in his eyes. And then Antetokounmpo built a better team, in my opinion. Like, he was looking for more all-around talent and things of that sort. Guys that were versatile and could, you know, help out in many ways. I think that's what he was looking for with Jimmy and Bam. He also happens to share an agent with Bam and Adebayo, so I think that's a factor. You also have to reach out to your guy and kind of make sure he's taken care of. You want a guy like Jimmy who's had experience and fits there a little bit better. I don't know. You really can't read too much into it because it's the All-Star game, and I don't know that there's any kind of exact science to it. I think the connection with the agent probably plays something, and maybe the fact that Jimmy and Bam are teammates probably helps out as much too. As far as him wanting to leave Milwaukee, you know, it's hard to tell what players like nowadays. I think Antetokounmpo has always said he likes Milwaukee. It was a team that took a chance on him, that drafted him, and gave him an opportunity to go in the league. Other teams passed up on him, and I think he was happy with Milwaukee and the fact that he's been embraced there and is looking to, you know, build his old his legacy there. He has an opportunity to do what you know, nobody has done since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which is bring a championship to the Bucks. And if that's the case, then, you know, this last season may have represented his best opportunity to do so. Who knows what the opportunity will be like when NBA basketball resumes, if and when it does resume anytime soon. And so he might be looking at other options there. And if he does, yeah, sure, Miami is a great opportunity for him. I know he's got a girlfriend, and I think they probably prefer hotter, sunnier weather. Now, I'll dispute that Miami is sunny, because it can be, but it's also rainy as hell down here. I think there is a reputation that it's earned as being a sunny locale. It is not always. Now, it's not frigid Milwaukee, who I know it was, you know, still in the teens within the last few weeks or so. That was not the case in Miami. It's been unbearably hot for me over the last few weeks. If that's what your preference is, if that's what Adetokounmpo's preference is, then sure, Miami's a great opportunity for him. Moreover, though, I think the prospect of adding Giannis is realistic. That's, I think, the bottom line of this question, is that he does share an agent with Adebayo. I think the fact that Miami drafted Bam, that they've catered to him, that they've made his first few years with the team so enjoyable, I think speaks volumes. I think that gets back to the agent. I think from Adetokounmpo's perspective, he can join a team similarly to what LeBron did in 2010 that knows how to win a championship, that has a lot of talent there. If you don't have to give up a lot of talent, if you can surround Adetokounmpo with Adebayo and an older Jimmy Butler and, you know, Duncan Robinson, if you're able to re-sign him in a couple of years, and Kendrick Nunn and whoever else you have in that roster at this time, that's a hell of an opportunity for Adetokounmpo to continue winning, which I think is ultimately his goal. It's just a matter of whether or not he chooses to do so in Milwaukee, where he's won a lot of regular season games and not much postseason success, or in Miami, that's probably a little bit more aware of what it takes to get to that next level. You know, and I think that does say a lot about it's important to point out that is a factor, I think, Miami's experience in that regard, Eric Spoelstra's experience in that regard. Now, you don't have any players on the roster currently other than Udonis Haslem who have championship success. I'm sorry, Andre Iguodala too. So maybe between those two, that's enough. You know, you talk to players enough and they'll all tell you the same thing. Like, you have to know what it takes to get to that level. It's not the same thing. I think, unless you're able to find a genie in a bottle or something like that, where you can capture a moment perfectly and get past a team that's injured, if you don't have championship success on the roster, there's a good chance that you're not going to be able to just win a championship outright. Like, you're going to need to get more experience. You have to kind of pay your dues a little bit. Maybe you could say that if Adetokounmpo had gone to the finals this year, that would have whet his appetite a little bit. That would have put him in a position where he could understand this is what it takes to get to the finals, to get to a championship level. And if that's the case, maybe he would have been able to get next year to that championship level. Because I just don't see him being, I don't see the team being able to win a championship this year. As good as they've been the regular season, I think you could probably look at the experience in Los Angeles, specifically with LeBron James, the Clippers. You could have Kawhi Leonard, you know, a guy who has won two championships with San Antonio and Toronto. So, I mean, you have to know what it takes to get there. You have to be able to focus differently. You have to be able to understand the subtleties of winning a 7-game series. And that's something that Giannis has not been able to do just yet. So I think that there is an appeal here to knowing that there's a franchise in South Florida that has the experience, that has a coaching staff, that has experienced players, that knows what it takes and can get you to that next level. And if that's the case, then I could totally see Miami making an offer to Adetokounmpo that he'd accept. And I do think that it's a realistic option. You know, nobody really knows anything. I don't think Adetokounmpo knows anything at this point, because he still hasn't made his decision, and a lot can change within the next year and a half around the league, around his team specifically. Who knows? But as far as the appeal here, yeah, I mean, I could see why that would be interesting for a guy who wants to cement his legacy and continue to win at the highest level. So that's really it there as far as the appeal for Adetokounmpo. I think he could totally see himself in South Florida, and it makes a lot of sense to me. But you know, that's really all I have for today. Also, I'm glad I got the opportunity to answer a listener question. I had some more that I can take in other episodes, but again, I'm going to try and focus on the best moments in Heat franchise history in upcoming episodes. So stay tuned for those, but that's it for today. You can connect with me on Twitter using the hashtag #AskLOHeat or email me at lockedonheat@gmail.com. I'm David Romero signing off and thanking you as always for your support.
Back it up, D.